You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Good day, good people. My name is Brad King, and this is the Downtown Riders Jam video podcast, which is part of the Solid Listen Podcast Network. We're coming to you from deep inside the Jam Bunker today. Super excited, having one of my favorite guests back on the show. If you're a listener, you remember Lee Matthew Goldberg from episode 74. This dude cranks out book after book after book. And his latest, Stalker Stalked, came out just a couple months ago. And so we caught up with him, see what he was up to. Had a nice conversation, as you know, you've been here. Like, it's a long, weird-ass conversation. Talked a little bit about the publishing industry. Talked a little bit about trash TV and how he gets to use that for research. Talked about some of our favorite TV shows, You, The Affair, things about that. If you don't remember, he is one of these film people that I got that ended up becoming a novelist and a writer outside of that industry. And I always love talking to people like that because they approach and see writing and stories in a different way than people that were trained as writers. So Lee has written seven novels, The Ancestor, which we talked to him about, The Mentor, which is currently being developed as a script in a whole YA series called The Runaway Train. Been published in lots of languages, nominated for lots of prizes. His work has been everywhere. So, but you have to Google Lee Matthew Goldberg, because there's another writer, Lee Goldberg, who has also written a lot of stuff. And we covered all that in the first episode, but make sure you put the Matthew in there. He's got pilots and screenplays that have been finalists in the Script Pipeline, Book Pipeline, Stage 32, We Screenplay, the New York Screenplay, Screencraft, and the Hollywood Screenplay Contests. He's the co-curator of the Guerrilla Lit Reading Series, and he lives in New York City. And we had, not to keep harkening back to that original interview, but we had a long, really interesting conversation, both about growing up in New York as a kid, because he's one of those New Yorker kids, and also about how he was writing in the pandemic. So it was nice to catch up with him. He's a cool dude. I always appreciate the time that he takes to join us. Before we get to that interview, a couple things. So the Jam Proper, our 60-minute long-form show, comes out every Wednesday. This comes out, it's kind of irregularly on Mondays and Fridays, but we essentially have three shows coming out every week. Now, we need your help. So two things you can do to help us out. Right now, I want you to think about one or two people that you know who are readers, who like books, always look, you know, those people that are always like has something in their hand or always looking for the next new thing. I want you to tell them about this program. That's the first thing you're going to do. Second thing, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we need you to go leave us a review. You can leave us a written review and a star review. All of that helps us out. If you don't have that, if you're not listening with Apple Podcasts, head on over to our Facebook page, The Writers Jam. Click on that review button and leave us a review. Like, that is how we get found. That is what you can do for us. Over at the writersjam.com, our website, you can check out this video series. You can find the book reviews that we put up. You can click on the bookshop link and buy a book from a local and independent bookstore across the country and support all of that. Sign up for our newsletter. You can also support the entire Solid Listen podcast network by clicking on that Patreon button. We are a growing network. I think we have 12 or 13 shows now. For just a couple bucks a month, you get commercial-free episodes, all kind of bonus content. Molly and Nicole are creating stuff all the time. And it's a great way to support what we're doing here. So I appreciate you guys taking a little time out of your day. This is the short form, so it's about 30 minutes. We appreciate you taking that time for us. Hope that you're doing well. Hope you're taking care of each other. And I hope that you will sit back and enjoy my conversation with the always lovely and wonderful Lee Matthew Goldberg.
So I've had...
You've had like several.
Yeah, but I think we talked for The Ancestor, which would have been around this time a year ago. But yeah, I've had a sci-fi book, Orange City, and two young adult books out in between. And now my new one, Stalker Stalk, which is back to thrills.
Yeah, and it's like you would just keep popping up on Twitter, and I'm like, this motherfucker is just writing. You're that pandemic person. It's like, all I'm doing is writing. Like, I feel like that's what's been happening.
Yeah, all of these were finished before. So like some of them were waiting in the wings, and I think there was just like a glut, like they all kind of came out at once. And it was kind of nice because it was a pandemic. So it's like, what else am I doing? I might as well just put out books, you know? And like, what else are people doing? They might as well just read, you know? It's been kind of cool. But I finished a new book over the pandemic that my agent's about to send out. So, you know, hopefully fingers crossed with that one, yeah.
And you got some film stuff that you're tinkering around with too, yeah?
I do, yes. I can't really talk about it too much, but one of mine is in like an early... It's like a shopping agreement.
Gotcha.
For it. So like right now it's being shopped, I guess. And then the YA series I'm developing is a TV show, and we have some interest. So right now that's sort of where it's at in terms of
I mean,
of that.
That's a crazy productive pandemic.
Yeah, I've had a good pandemic. Yeah. I mean, like everybody else, it sucked. Yeah. But in terms of work, it's actually been really phenomenal. And I've gotten a lot done and a lot out there. And I feel like my career has like shifted a little in it. And I'm hoping that this is the start of like sort of the next stage of it where I go to like another level.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
I mean, I just interviewed Tommy Swerdlow, who's a novelist and screenwriter and stuff. And like you're writing across the genres and types of writing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's impressive and hard.
Thank you. There's an element in publishing industry where it's like stick to your lane. And yeah. It was early advice that I was given, and I really dislike that advice. I'll write whatever I feel like writing. So, you know, and to write thrillers are very fun, but sometimes I don't want to write about people killing each other and doing horrible things to one another. So the YA series was a nice break from that. Like nobody murdered.
I think it's interesting that, you know, it is like it, like the publishing folks will tell you, like, develop your platform, get your audience, like do that thing. And that's how you build a career.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether this is like this generation of writers is like sort of breaking out of that, because I've been talking with more and more people who are like finding the genre and the style that they want to. And they're sort of like, I just trust that the audience will find it.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be this element. I think the publishing industry held a lot more cards. So they dictated your career, and nobody else is going to dictate my career but myself.
Yeah.
So if a publisher wants to be on board for that, and hopefully a big publisher, that would be great. And I would love to do that, but nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't write. That is ridiculous, and take all of my money.
Yeah, it's a one or you can do one or the other.
And give you like 10% of royalties.
Well, and it's, I think, finding, you know, we talk so much on the show about like it takes a long time for a writer to find their voice and to like figure out the questions that drive the stories that they want to. And once you find that, you know, like that's where you want to be. It really doesn't matter if the agent or whatever is like, well, you should really do this. It's like, nah, this is the thing, yeah. Right? Like, this is like, my thing. The
agents actually are so supportive about it.
That's
so
great.
Very, yeah. I mean, I've been with the same agency for a dozen years. I have multiple agents now in the agency, so they handle different facets of the career.
Oh, that's great.
So one of my agents does the YA, you know, stuff, and my main agent handles sort of everything else. And they're very supportive, and they're like, just keep writing, like, you know, whatever you want to do. And you know, this mindset that I've kind of developed where everything I write, I'm writing as a script as well, I think has done well for me too, because it helps it get a little more noticed in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think we have a very big book deal. There's a good chance that Hollywood could notice and give you, you know, an option for it. But beyond that, it's quite hard. So at least this gets my foot in the door a little bit more when I have a script that I could hand to them. And I'm working now on, now the big thing in Hollywood is pitch decks, creating these like graphically interesting pitch decks. So that's what I'm sort of working on now for all my projects, because they don't even want to read the book.
Yeah.
They don't want the book. They want to see a nice graphic pitch deck. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's fascinating because I've interviewed several screenwriters, I mean, outside of Tommy, like, and people that worked in Hollywood who have, and I now have come to believe this, and it was not a thing that I would have said I believed 2 years ago before I really dove into these interviews, which is, it's much like, if you're like going from Hollywood where it's the, it is at minute seven, this happens at minute like there's a tight structure. Yeah. Everything is visual. And so you learn very much how to move people through visual scenes. And so going to a novel and writing, it actually makes it not easier, but like there's a structure and a way that you know how to do it.
100%. I took early on screenwriting classes, and I feel like that was the biggest shift in terms of my own writing, kind of like cutting the fat and getting to the meat of the story. And I'm a story-based person. So the books that I'm interested in are just books that are really interesting stories that engage me. The ideas and things like that, very literary books, I'm kind of steering away from. They don't interest me as much as I think they used to, because I'm a very like visually driven writer. So I'm interested the most in visuals anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing that has made the most sense, right? Like one of the themes on the show is like nobody really knows how to become a writer. Like there's not like a path, there's not like a thing. But the more I hear people talking about this screenwriting and scene writing, and again, not novel scene writing, but like writing a scene in a visual place, I the more I'm leaning towards like, I feel like if you want to be a writer, you should spend some time doing that just because it allows you.
Well, it's also like I tell people this all the time. It's like, don't think of the novel as the end of that story. The novel could be the beginning. So the novel could be developed into a screenplay, a TV series, you know, a Broadway play, an off-Broadway play, a video game. I mean, anything. Like there's such a big window in terms, especially these days, to get in touch with people, you know, social media wise and on the internet, that never limit yourself. Or like, I just wrote a book, like it could be so much more. And I think that's really helped me, because nothing ever seems finite that way.
Yeah.
Like my first book came out in 2015. I'm working on the script for it right now. Like maybe it'll give it a chance to get a wider audience. We'll see.
And I know when I write, I always tell people, like, I'm transcribing a thing that I see in my head anyway. Like, I see the thing. Even when I'm telling a story, I'm like, like, it literally just sort of, like, close your eyes and you're like, I'm just furiously trying to type what I see.
Yeah, absolutely. My first love when I was a kid was movies and television. And the books came actually a little later. So I think of things in that way. And, you know, in all honesty, like, it's harder for me to remember, like, a sentence I love from one of my favorite books as opposed to a scene I love from one of my favorite movies. Books I tend to, like, I read voraciously, and I read them and they go in one ear and then they're gone. And I don't even remember it. Like, and then I just pick up a new one. And movies really, like, stick in my mind. And I think these days, too, it's, like, moving out of the theatrical window now that everything is streaming. There's so many opportunities now. They're hungry for, you know, novels in Hollywood and publishing as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know how to tell a story. So there's real opportunity in terms of that. And, you know, I'm finding it even a little more exciting sometimes than the publishing industry.
Well, I mean, the publishing industry is Nobody.
Industry is a little dinosaur based, and Hollywood is always mutating and moving and becoming. Yeah. You know, it has its own garbage and difficulty, sure, of course. But I feel like they're always thinking the next step ahead, where I think publishing is sometimes thinking of what used to be.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, no, and I think like press, like, I think, I don't know if this is true, I have zero things to base this on, but like, I'm down for like, broad church style prestige TV where they just go, look, here's six episodes. Like, this isn't going to be four seasons or eight seasons. Yeah, it's going to be like, we're just going to do this thing. Mm-hmm, and it's, you know, because like, I love The Affair, but then like by The Affair, by like season five, I'm like, what the fuck is happening anymore?
For too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I what happens now a lot of times is they'll have that like limited series. And if it does really well, maybe they'll get, it's like Big Little Lies was one for example, but the season two was horrible. So like that didn't really need to happen.
Right.
So it has to be like really like the right circumstance or it then develops into a thing. But sometimes it's like, it's true. You just need six episodes. It's enough.
Yeah. Like The Watchmen, when that came out and when they declined to do season two, I was like, thank you, because that was a perfect fucking story.
Yeah.
For what this was.
I think
they
learned, because those are the Lost guys, or at least one of the Lost guy. And I think they learned that they didn't stick the landing
on
that show, and was like, this one we actually did in the first season.
Yeah.
So let's just, you know, like, that's it. That's all you're getting. And yeah, that was I feel like one of the best shows in the last year or two.
I have literally bought the original Watchmen graphic novel and sent it to about a dozen people. And I'm like, because they were going to watch the show, I'm like, read this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call me and I'll tell you why that book was important. Mm-hmm. And then everything they did with this show is amazing. Is like perfect.
Yeah. And that's the perfect example of something that it began as a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Was a movie that maybe financially was successful, but it wasn't a movie.
No, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, and that could have been the end of it and then became this other thing. So it's like I was saying before, it's like if you create something, it's never done. It could last, you know, and have different iterations, you know, throughout the years, basically. And I think it's a good way for writers to think, to have a little more control of like what they're creating.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if you are a big anime fan, but like all of us are very nervous about Cowboy Bebop being a live action, because again,
I don't know too much about it. It's interesting. But
it was a perfect 26 show.
Oh, okay.
Arc. Mm-hmm. And he never did another, everybody was clamoring, but it was like a story. Mm-hmm. It's like a mafia story. And yeah. So now that they're doing the live action, they're like, oh, please let it be good. And please don't have two seasons. We need one.
Yeah. I should check that out. I feel like that is the next genre that I haven't really watched.
Yeah.
I've only seen like Ghost in the Shell. I feel like that's the only anime that I've seen.
It's a fusion of American jazz and Japanese storytelling. It's amazing.
I love Murakami, which is also kind of like that, somewhat. So yeah, I've always wanted to watch Akira. I've heard amazing things about. Yeah. And that MTV show Aeon Flux that was that when I was like a kid.
That's weird though. Do start with Cowboy Bebop.
Okay.
So the new book Stalker Stalk, it's out in September. So give me I have a sense of what this story may be about. Give me the elevator pitch.
The perfect thing about Stalker Stalked is no other title perfectly sums up what this book's about. It's about a stalker, and then she gets stalked, and that's basically the book. She becomes obsessed with the reality TV star. Her boyfriend breaks up with her, and this girl's really down in the dumps. She's a pharma rep, and she kind of steals her own pills that she sells, so she's a little bit of a pill popper. And she becomes obsessed with this seemingly perfect person on this show Socialites about six rich women in New York, and starts stalking her basically and to get on the show. And while she's doing that, she starts to feel like she's being stalked as well. Is it the pills? Is it her friend? Is it the detective? Oh. Is it maybe this girl who she's stalking, who's turning the tables on her? So she basically has to use her own stalking prowess to overcome the stalker. And it's really just a batshit crazy. I just got a review today that I looked on NetGalley. It was a 1-star review. And the review is smutty. And he was like, everybody was horrible in this book. It was smutty. I was offended. And I was like, yep, that's the book.
Nailed it. You stuck the landing.
I think it's going to be 1 star and 5 stars for this book. You love it or you hate it. And if you're like a little old bitty, it's not the book for you.
If you spend your days looking out the window in your neighborhood to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Not the book for you.
The book is basically just like 300 pages of batshit crazy.
Yeah.
So,
if you're on board, sounds like season 2 of You.
So I was really, we pitched it as You meets Real Housewives.
Yeah. That's as you were saying it, I was like, oh yeah, I think I know what this book is.
And so I'm working it as I finished a feature script of it right now. And my film agent is looking at it to send it out.
Yeah.
And the actress I think would be perfect for it. I'm putting it out in the universe. So I'm trying to Alexandra Daddario.
Oh yeah.
So amazing and really recently The White Lotus.
Yeah.
And We Summon the Darkness. So Alexandra, if you're listening, I can get you a copy. I think you would just be so amazing in this.
And I'm guessing just what little interactions we've had, it skews more towards the Real Housewives and less towards you.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a thriller light and it's more satire. So it's disturbingly funny.
Yeah.
More than scary, and there's a few jump moments, but it's definitely, and this one, I had never watched those shows before, and like when we spoke for my last book, The Ancestor, I was researching the Alaskan Gold Rush and the 1890s, and it was very like highfalutin research, and this I just binged horrible reality TV for like 2 months, and it was really great. The shows are a lot of fun, and I had a lot of fun watching them. And then I saw one of the people I was watching it, and then I walk outside and I see one of the people on the shows. It's a funny meta moment.
It's also nice to be able to not that we're out really going out and doing a bunch of stuff, but like you can tell people like, what did you do? Like, oh, I watched 10 hours of Real Housewives, but it was research. Like,
right.
And have that legit be real.
Right. Yeah, totally. Totally. It was totally real. I'm a little hooked. I'll probably keep watching.
Like, I'm really not sad and depressed and lonely. This is for a book. I swear to God.
For a book, I promise. I had a lot of fun with this one. And the last one was a very serious book. It dealt with death and loss and this was just a lot more fun to write, basically.
Do you find yourself, and then we'll get out of here, do you find yourself like, okay, I did this kind of book, now I like, as a palate cleanser, do you find yourself gravitating to like do new questions? Like, okay, I just spent some darkness. Now, like, what would happen if?
Yeah, like, I mean, The Ancestor was the hardest book for me to write. My dad passed away when I was writing it. It was a very like tough time, and I needed not to write something like that. After. I just finished the book. The one I finished is about a family of Jewish bank robbers in the 1980s. Who the father loses all the money in the stock market and everything's repossessed but their old RV, so they just go around the country in their RV robbing banks. And then the one that I have in the future that I'm starting is it's about a Jewish man in the 1950s who begins working for a Madison Avenue advertising company. He's the only Jewish man. He's the only Jew at the company, basically. And he hears like slights and slurs and this and that, but it's a real opportunity to get him and his family, out of their parents' house and et cetera. And then he slowly starts seeing like Nazi symbolism in the advertising. And he has to decide what he's going to do. Either they're going to spread this hateful message or he is the one that really only could stop them. So he becomes like an ass-kicking Nazi, and he becomes the ass-kicker of the Nazi.
Yeah. No, I knew what I knew where you were going. Yeah.
Right. So I haven't started that one yet, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm leaning to my like Jewish heritage for these books now because I never really have, and I feel like I want to give a voice to like Jewish characters right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's like you said, like you just sort of like you're going sort of. These are the stories I want to tell. Now, these are the stories I want to tell. Now, these are like, that's good. I mean, I feel like that's the only way to have, I mean, not the only way, but like, I don't know, as a writer, that just seems like how you continue to keep yourself interested and how you push yourself and how like always sort of putting aside what I've done. And now I'm going to do this new thing and see that happens.
I think that, the worst thing as a writer is if you get bored by your career. It's like always keep it fresh, because if you keep it fresh, then people will continue to be engaged. So I always want to write things that I'm interested in, basically. I had seen that show Plot Against America, and I was just really horrified and inspired by it. And so that this idea kind of came out of that. But this was going to take me a long time. I'm usually quick. This will be like a year-long project for this book.
Yeah, it's funny. All the writers listening are like, a year is a long time.
No, I'm finishing the third book in the YA series, like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
9 weeks it's taken me. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
This one's different. This one's like research. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lee, it is great catching up with you. I think you're fantastic. And like, I love talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me again. It was really great to catch up.
Yeah, and Stalker Stalked is out now, and people can get it anywhere, yeah?
Yeah, anywhere in, it's coming out, Trifecta. It's paperback, audio, and ebook all at once. Oh, so,
who did you do the audio, or is there somebody that did it?
All my books, I've been working with this company, and they're releasing all of them in audio now.
Wow.
So, yeah, they all have, and Stalker Stalked is the first that's doing it like day and date, basically.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Phenomenal narrator. Yeah, she did a fantastic job. So I'm excited for that.
I am always super like, there's a couple people who do books, audiobooks. I get the book. I don't even know what the book is about just because I know that they're so good that like hearing it is like, it's like seeing a movie. It's different than the book. Like their interpretation of it is the thing that I'm like, oh fuck. Like I could just listen to this all day long.
Yeah, no, it's such a talent. Yeah. And all of them, especially The Ancestor, the guy who did The Ancestor, he to me sounded like Anthony Hopkins from Legends of the Fall. It's like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Pre-stroke or post-stroke?
Both.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, he just was this like grizzled, and he did just such a fantastic job capturing the spirit of that book.
Yeah,
this voice actor Norman. It's an exciting addition. I hope people who maybe aren't readers that find the books that way.
Yeah, now that we're sort of getting out a little bit, like if you're going for a hike, grab the audiobook. Like it's one of my favorite things to do.
Get it on Audible, and you know, for everybody mostly in America that has like a driving commute, it's perfect.
Right. Since Americans can't leave the country again because of the pandemic, like what better thing to do to pass the time and visit another place?
Get your audio.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks so much. Take care, Brad.
Well, there you have it. That was Lee Matthew Goldberg. His book, Stalker Stalk, is out now. I love talking to him about his books. Really. Like, I don't always spend a lot of time with writers talking about the plot and the sort of the actual things, not their life, but like the actual things that influence that. He's just such a cool dude. Like, I could talk to him about this shit forever. And he's got a dry sense of humor that I love, because I am clearly a maniac. And so people like that with that kind of wit and humor, I think I dig. Before we get out of here, just a couple reminders. I ask you to do those two things at the top of the show. Tell your friends about us. It's always those book lovers that are looking for podcasts, looking for books to read. Tell them about us and go leave us a review, either at Apple or at Facebook. While you're at it, don't forget to check out all the shows on the Solid Listen Podcast Network. Like I said, we are growing. And the flagship, Mother May I Sleep With Podcast, with the host and our Solid Listen Podcast queen, Molly MacLear. She and Nicole are doing such an amazing job growing this network. And that's one of the podcasts that I listen to that has nothing to do with books or true crime, which tend to be where I end up. But I like Mother May I Sleep With. Don't forget, these video podcasts come out every Monday and Friday on the Solid Listen Network YouTube channel. You can also catch them at thewritersjam.com, or you can catch the audio wherever you listen to podcasts. And The Jam is out on Wednesdays. So if you just go search for the Downtown Writers Jam wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get yourself subscribed, and you will hear everything that we're doing. And remember, you can always catch us on Twitter and Instagram at The Writers Jam. Until the next time, I will see you around the internet.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.